You're tuning in to the Audible Weed Walk podcast, episode 73. This is Nina welcoming you. It is supposed to be that time of the season again, where we are in the cusp between warmer days ahead, but days and nights are still cool and pleasant. My mother is ringing the reminder bell of all seasonality of eating right, etc. And she is reminding me in every single phone calls that I have, I have to start reduce eating food that are heavy to digest. That includes fish and meat, etc. And even, of course, all the milk products. And time to eat vegetables that are still seasonal, but need to start incorporating healthy doses of bitters. As expected, nature around us, too, are gearing up to offer us the same. The new red shiny leaves of the neem tree around us is perhaps a harbinger of that message. If you look at the shelves of grocery store, you will find fresh green peas in shells, sweet potatoes, along with bitter gourd varieties, making their places prominent. If you are looking for herbs and greens from typically the elderly ladies who sells them at the fringes of the local or weekly market, you will find them a lot more choices there. Coming back in fashion, and more will appear in the weeks to come, are black nightshades. Black nightshade greens are manthakali, Solanum nigrum or Solanum americanum. It is yum but has a bitter undertone. As you know, it has many beneficial properties. Antioxidant, helps in detox, cures ulcers, and is anti-inflammatory. Also making their way into the seasonal popularity are purple-flowered pea eggplant leaves with Solanum trilobatum or Thuduvalai locally. Again, it is loaded with lots of beneficial properties. Anti-inflammatory, relieves pain, protects liver. Exactly what you need in this change of season when warmer weather rolls in. It is bitter and thorny. If you want to have them, do not worry about the thorns. Wash and drain the leaves in a strainer and then you add the leaves to a soup or rasam. Then the thorns will melt away. Batter fry is also locally popular. Then there are greens of leaves of Cardiospermum helicacabum or Mudakatan kiri. It is an anti-inflammatory, anti-arthritic, excellent for joints, antioxidant, antibacterial, antifungal. They are bitter. Can be easily added to soup or batter or dough to make dosa. That way, you do not taste the bitterness as much. And there are more. They don't just grow in. They just don't appear in the market. They grow around us. If you have access to protected yards where the water source and the soil is not contaminated, you have a great source of the right seasonal green. I think the experience of collecting nothing is nothing much, like, you know, just a handful is just enough, is wonderful. These wild weedy greens are packed with nutrition and micronutrients, but that doesn't mean one should take a whole lot. Actually, several of them are not quite beneficial if you consume a large quantity. I have a thumb rule. When you see something growing profusely, you may collect. You don't have to, but you may collect a larger quantity than just a handful. If you see a small patch, you take a few leaves. Typically, the thumb rule is not to forage 25% of any given patch collectively. That is, total collection and not buy one or many, and not just, you know, each person taking 25%. Just to mention here, another plant growing profusely in the season is Cissus quadrangularis or pirandai. It is made into a chutney or pickle around here. But just because it is growing a lot, remember, we only need just a spoonful. like any other pickle and not a whole lot. Actually, perhaps the plant tries to convey this to us in its own way. It is itchy and irritates the skin if one tries to handle it. So handle less of it is actually a good thing. But then let's come to today's topic. Shiny example of overlooked yummy green, which is not even bitter, but should be taken in this season. I was looking through my coloring book in detail now that I am getting it ready for another reprint. There are clearly some plants we ignore, and this one is perhaps more than any others. So those of you who are listening to the podcast right now, you have a chance to guess. Because upfront, I will not mention the name. See if you can guess which one it is. And then ask yourself, do you use it? How to use it? Of course, if you listen to the podcast recording later or listening via YouTube, then you will already see a photo to guess. It's okay. It will be still a lot of fun, I think. To begin with, the plant is an epiphyte. That is, it's even though it's seemingly rooted to the ground, its nutrients comes from air, water, rainwater, etc. It is an anti-inflammatory, analgesic, and antibacterial, just the need for the season. Several studies have described it to be antimicrobial, cytotoxic, anti-diabetic, and a variety of other benefits. Now, Wikipedia also adds that it is good for treating abdominal pain, abscesses, acne. For acne, I actually saw a paper which actually really the test concludes that it is actually effective against acne. Boils, colic, fatigue, gout, headache, renal disorders, rheumatic joint pains, etc. It seems that in Bolivia, Alteños Indians, who are native to that land, use the whole plant to stop hemorrhages. The roots are used to treat fever, and the aerial parts are used for dressing wounds. So just by listening to the properties, you know that this is like all the bitters in the season, right? But this is not bitter. And yet we don't eat them. Now, let's check the nutritional profile. There is an excellent list. It is rich in potassium. 100 grams portion of the plant has approximately 277 milligram of potassium, which is quite high. It has also a substantial amount of carbohydrate, protein, fat, calcium, and also trace minerals such as phosphorus, iron. Which is, you know, and this iron, I read somewhere that it is bioavailable, which means it is actually a good source of iron. 1250 milligram of beta carotene is there present in 100 grams of plant, which is excellent. Beta carotene is excellent for eye health. It strengthens the immune system and provides healthy skins and mucous membrane. Plus, it has in also this 100 gram of plant, one finds 2 milligram of vitamin C or ascorbic acid, which is essential to repair and heal body tissues. So, do you have a clue now which plant I am talking about? Next clue. Even though most wild weedy plants, I do not recommend eating raw, this one can be eaten raw or cooked. More clue. The family to which this plant belongs contain roughly about 3,600 species in 13 genera. But mainly, two genera are more prominent. One of these genera have 2,000 species in it and are predominantly found in Asia and South Asia. We all know them very well. These are mostly woody climbers. But this particular plant, which belongs to the second genera, which is the prominent in this particular family, It has 1,600 species in it, of which only 17 are from Asia. They are usually small, succulent, and mostly epiphytic herbs. This particular plant I am talking about, pretty much found everywhere, grows in part shade where the moisture is high. It grows in pots in garden fringes, and they are easily found anywhere. Anywhere you find a regular source of water, you will find them volunteering. However, this one is not one species that is originally from Asia. It owes its origin in South America and somehow got to India and got naturalized. There in South America, South and Central America, and also in Southeast Asia, where they are found in profusion, it is popularly eaten both raw, in salad, or in recipes where they are sautéed or cooked. That's a lot of clues. Any thought which one it is? Well, I can give you one more clue. They look shiny and glistening, and the stem look translucent. If you chew raw, it is crunchy and has a distinct smell. In literature, they describe the smell as mustard-like. But if you are in India or are aware of Indian food, you know it is not mustard, but clearly smells of another familiar food item, which is like this one, astringent. What should I tell you? Should I tell you, or you already know by now? Okay, let me tell you some vernacular names. In Bengali, it is called luchi pata. Luchi refers to the puri. It looks like a slightly shiny, oily puri when it is rubbed in one's hand. Or like, as kids, we used to rub it in between our palms. And it's to become translucent and really oily, limpy leaf. And that's where the name comes from. In Philippines, it is called pancit pancitan. And in English, yes, it is called shiny bush. I'm talking about Peperomia pellucida, the herb, which is the cousin plant of Piperaceae genera, where our peppers belong to. Piper longum or tippali, Piper nigrum or our black pepper, Piper chaba and Piper cubeba, which I have spoken about in my podcast 45, 43 and 45, and Piper betel. Piper betel is our betel leaf. And betel leaf, as you know, has a distinct smell. And this plant, Peperomia pellucida, has the same exact smell. But how come we don't eat it as often, even though it's growing around us? I have only found that Mark's Cafe, Mathilde, uses in her salad quite a bit. And around her garden fringes, there are quite a few of them growing. Otherwise, I know people who are also doing organic gardening, from time to time, just picks this plant and compose them. Yet you can actually have yummy, yummy food. What I have done is, in order to see how I can use the property of its astringent property, and also, you know, the list of several beneficial properties that I read out, how to incorporate more in our diet in a slightly different way. The pictures you will see in this podcast after it is posted, and those are some of the attempts of kind of fusion food made with the shiny bush leaves, the whole plant actually, cooked along with rice and another quite ignored vegetable locally, the ash gourd. The ash gourd, you find in many ash gourds here, but hardly any more people eat them as much, but they have a lot of beneficial effect. So I kind of clubbed the two ignored ones together to create something, and I must say they are yum. I wish I could convey the taste and the smell over the photo, but until then, one day I'm sure that it will be possible, but until then, you'll have to take my word for it. And why don't you, I invite you, why don't you try out these plants? Check my coloring book and see how to pre-process them, if there is anything to pre-process. Once you have pre-processed, the recipe you want to create is, you know, basically just restricted by your imagination and whatever you want to create. So why don't you try out some and let me know? And I will get back to you next time and read out your experience if you write to me. Until then, see you next time. Stay well and stay safe.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the city of Dome.